Now the laws of Netilas Yadayim, and we're up to chapter Kuf Samach Gimel 163, and here we're going to be discussing Din Mishein LeMayim VaMaychil LaAchedim UBoy Veiz Seifim. One who has no water, what do? You got no water for Netilas Yadayim. You're gonna starve. What are you supposed to do? Not eat bread. And what about if you are not eating, but you're feeding somebody else, so you won't be touching the food yourself? What is the halacha? There's two seifim, boy bei seifim, two subsections. So let's do that. So subsection number one, asur lechel b'loy netilo, it is prohibited to eat without washing, afilu im roitze lichrich yodov b'mape, even if the person wishes to wrap his hands with a cloth so you won't actually touch the food. The reason for washing is so you touch the food, you don't make it tummy. That was the gezer. But here, you're going to wrap your hands with a cloth, put on gloves, let's say. Oichel bekaf, that eating with a spoon, so you're not touching your bread, you're going to eat the bread with a spoon. She'ein enegeh pas, in which he is not touching the bread, you can't do that. Why? Gezeira shema yiga, because we worry, we make a decree, we worry about maybe you will touch. So you're saying nothing, but we don't allow you to do that. Even one who's going on the road, came the time to eat, and there's can't find any water. If he knows that ahead of him and his route that he's going, 4 million, there is going to be water, so you have to wait until you reach to that place. And if backwards, returning less than a meal, you have to go back there. Even though you need to go on your road, you're still going to have to go back up to a meal to get the Netilas Yadayim. But what is the story if there is no water ahead of you, there's no water in back of you? Avol im yesh berach mil achrov. Avol im yesh berach mil achrov. But if there is, but it's, you have to walk more than a mil backwards, or v'yesh medal mil lefonov, or you have to walk more than 4 mil ahead, you want to eat now. Then we say yichrach yodav b'mapa. Then you can wrap your hand with a cloth. You should eat your bread. Or the item that he wants to, that has been dipped in mashke, which he also has to wash his hands for. If we're machmir to wash that. Or eats through a spoon.
The question was
mashke.
Does that mean like a moisture?
Yeah, liquid. The same law is true if he's not sure whether he's going to find water within 4 million. So, to begin with, one is not allowed to just wrap his hands and eat. But if you're in a situation where you don't have any water, and you don't have water within 4 million ahead of you and 1 meal behind you, then you can wrap your hands or eat through a spoon so you're not touching the food.
Do you know the distance of a meal?
The Shomer Gino, I got to look that up. Shomer Gino, and I would think it's about a quarter of a mile or half a mile.
I was going to say 1,000, so that would be like Shomer Gino,
Pardes, a person who is guarding, his job is, he's a watchman. He's watching the gardens or a orchard, a Pardes, or an orchard. Now he can't even leave to leave this place, so he says dinay kila acharov. So he's treated. He's treated like somebody who has water in the back, which means he only has to go up to a meal. If she efshar le laziv shmirosi kol kach ad sheyelch mil v'yachzer, he can't really allow for himself to leave his watch, leave his guard, so go a meal and back. Less than a meal he has to go, but more than a meal, he doesn't have to go, and he can eat by wrapping his hands or by using the spoon. One who's at home, he's not traveling. So then you would say, oh, you're at home, maybe you don't have to go 4 million ahead. No, he says up to 4 million. You need to go 4 million if you know you're going to find water. Even though you're not going in the direction, you're just home, you're not even going on the road. So basically up to 4 million, you have to always go to find water to wash your hands for before eating. Subsection 2, base. Hamachil achedim, if you're feeding others, you don't have, the one who feeds the other doesn't have to wash his hands for the bread. And the one who eats does need to wash his hand. So the one who eats washes his hands, and the one that feeds does need to wash his hands. Even though the one who's feeding him puts the bread straight into his mouth, and he's not touching the bread, still gzeiru shemayiga. Afraid he might touch it. So even though somebody's feeding you, you still might touch it. V'hamaychil, and the one who is feeding, av shenegeya, legozru olav, even though he touches, they didn't make the decree to wash, legozru, alegilas chulin ela lechilas mishum srach truma. They only gozer, not for touching chulin, only by eating because of the truma, because of, might be eating truma and touching that. And feeding somebody else, which is not the common way to eat, it's an uncommon thing. Like Gozru, the rabbis did not make a decree. So now, you're feeding somebody else, the person must wash, you, the one who's feeding, doesn't have to wash. But you're not permitted to feed somebody that you know that he didn't wash his hands. Because you're not supposed to put a stumbling block in front of somebody that's blind. That basically means you can't provide somebody that something is not allowed to do. You can't give it to them. They're blind because they're doing it and they're eating without until Sinai, but you're not allowed to participate. Even if the bread belongs to the person that is eating it, he is just giving it to him. So you can say, I'm not, if not for me, he can probably have it somebody else. It's his bread. He doesn't need me to give it to him, so he'll get somebody else. I'm not causing him the stumbling block because somebody else will do it. So he says, still also the sayeyo yide evri avira, you're still not allowed to support people that do an avira. Even though, lifne iver, technically, as we say, Meshiz bar b'simen shimam zayin, as we explained in section 347, one can argue sometimes that you're only violating for a person that you're giving him something if he can't do it himself. So you're basically providing him, you're giving somebody, if he can't get the drugs elsewhere, you're giving him the drugs, then you're violating Lifneiva because you're giving him it. But what happens if he can get it by himself? Doesn't need you. So maybe you're not going to Lifneiva because not you, he'll go to somebody else. So it's not Tere Ibra Denara. But still, there is a prohibition against helping somebody do an avera, even if he can get it without you. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, sort of, even if he owns the food himself and he doesn't really need you, he can do it, he can get it himself if he wants to do it without washing. And this is where we come a lot of times to the issues about supporting people or helping people, do an avera. Let's say they're not allowed to. So am I helping them or not? And one of the major issues is, telling somebody to come to Shabbos in the shul with a car, for example, that would be an issue. So, they shouldn't be driving the car, but now that I'm saying to them, come to shul, so am I supporting them? Am I helping them do? Yeah, but the reality is, if they don't drive to shul, they'll be watching TV at home and probably violating a lot more of the laws that they shouldn't do on Shabbos, say, for example. In essence, it's something that needs to be, usually sometimes people say, if they invite you over, let's say, to come for a Shabbos meal or Passover meal, and they know you're going to drive, so they tell you to have the opportunity if you want, you can stay over. Okay, then you choose to leave, that's going to be your business. So they're trying not to be party to this. But one of the realistic facts are, I mean, again, that's not, that shouldn't be a consideration. We have to do what the law says. But one of the realization is nobody starts by walking to shul to Shabbos. I mean, somebody who weren't trained like that from their childhood, they didn't grow up in a religious environment, they don't start, they got to start from somewhere. And in most cases, if, unless they live downstairs from the shul, they're going to drive to shul. So you say to yourself, you know, how is somebody going to start? If you tell them, well, you can't do nothing, this is the only way to do it, then you're probably not going to, they're not going to come. They're not going to see, they're not going to be, they're not going to learn, they're never going to learn. Again, I'm not ruling it, but the rabbis have ruled it, but the common practice in a lot of places, I mean, the Rebbe was very strict in some letters about this, and he says that people at least should know that, you know, that the people that encourage them to tell something, the Rebbe says, you know, you're not, I'm not telling you to do this violation, you don't want to be party to, sometimes people come over to me and tell me, oh, you know, I said, I didn't ask you how you got here. Don't tell me how you got here. Said, you know, that's not my my dad. But it's something that you need to be, you know, be careful about. But that's related to these laws of, maybe you're not causing them to do, because, you know, they can drive wherever they want. They're not, you don't, you're not making them come. But by causing them, but the question really is, what are they doing otherwise? I mean, they're probably doing, you're probably saving them sitting in shul and being there. They're probably doing a lot less prohibited jobs on Shabbos than they would do if they weren't there. You know, they do a lot worse than that. So, I mean, but that's also kind of iffy. But I just said that's connected to these halachas over here.